This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Hallman. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we are live on this Easter weekend, so feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And no matter where you're calling, even if you're out there in South Carolina and Jeff and he's bragging about his Gamecocks, that's great. All right, we'll take your call. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And there's lots of concerns out there, huh, Dennis?
Oh, tons of them.
What do we got to talk about to start this morning?
Well, this morning I thought I would start with one from our favorite tech blogger, Brian Krebs.
Oh my gosh, he's just such a wonderful job.
Oh, he's great. This should be required reading everywhere.
Especially if you're an Apple user in this case.
Yeah, the other reason I wanted to bring it up is because there might be people out there that have actually had this happen to them.
Yeah.
There's a campaign that's been what we call MFA bombing.
Yep, yep.
Apple users to get into their iCloud accounts.
Right.
And when we say MFA bombing, we're not talking about five or six.
And we're not talking about physical bombs either.
No, well, of course not.
No.
We're talking about 100 and sometimes even more of these notifications that'll come up on your iPhone saying approve this password reset or whatever it is that it's asking.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, you can't do anything with the phone until you've cleared them.
Right.
And when you've got 100 of these things stacked up, what are you going to do? You can decline them all, okay?
Right.
But when you've got that many of them, you know, you might accidentally hit that approve button when you don't really mean to, even if you know better. And your finger can stray a little bit on that screen.
Sure.
And then there are people that'll just ignore them. And then, you know, later on, they'll try to work with their phone and they can't. And it's just a real mess.
Yep.
And what Brian is saying is, you know, Apple should have some logic built in to detect.
Right.
You know, a legitimate user is not going to be putting through 100 requests to reset a password.
Right, instantly.
Within the space of a minute or two. It's just not something that a person can do.
Nope. No matter how much coffee you've drunk.
Or taking no dose.
Right.
But at any rate, it's just a failing of the security. I mean, it's nice to have the security of the MFA.
MFA is important.
But if the people handling the MFA are stupid about it, it's too easy to end up with a breach.
Right. So this would be a Apple design flaw. Sorry to say it. But it's true.
Yeah.
For all you Apple devotees out there, this is a big issue. We'll put the link out there for you guys, because if it's happening to you, of course it can happen to us Android guys too, but remember, Apple's smarter than us. So this shouldn't be happening to you. That's why it's kind of news. They should have been smarter about it. And of course, if you do inadvertently hit approve, you're letting the bad guy into your Apple device, into your iCloud. And the story is really well written and explains an awful lot. And if you also get into the comments and read the comments of this story, you'll find a lot of good feedback. There's even additional advice for you Apple users out there as far as what to do about this. So it's good information. I'm sorry it's happening to you. We just try to report the news, guys. Now, here's something that was on my voicemail at Tab.
Really?
Yes. This is a call to me.
Oh.
And I want you guys to hear this voicemail, and I'll explain what's going on here.
Hi, this is Elsa from Intuit QuickBook. This call is regarding your QuickBook update, as we are getting constant alerts that your QuickBook is not receiving the latest update due to widget maker of your phone. In order to fix the issue, give us a call back at the number 209-890-8774 and ask for Elsa. Time is on Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
So, you guys heard that QuickBooks was calling me, a lovely lady named Elsa, who wants to help me. Gee, thanks, Elsa. She's saying my QuickBooks isn't updating and they're getting alerts.
What?
Oh my goodness. Are you getting alerts about my QuickBooks, Elsa? Oh, and if I don't do anything and don't call you, I could get corrupted data? Oh my
no.
gosh. You need to fix my issue, Elsa, don't you? So this is called a phishing attempt. This is just like email, phishing. This is voicemail. They're phishing. And you're literally going to call Elsa. And I left the phone number on there if you want to mess with her. Because these are the bad guys. And some folks just enjoy messing with the bad guys. And I don't blame you. But be careful. They're bad guys.
Yeah.
But the point is here that you'd call Elsa. And of course, Elsa would say, well, I need access to your computer to help you with the update problem you're having. The one that they are being alerted on, but you are not. And then they'll get into your system. And now they're going to be into your system, right? Now they're going to be loading software, malicious software. They're going to be taking your information. They'll be looking at your bank accounts. They'll do everything they can on that QuickBooks system. I mean, we get these calls all the time, Dennis, right?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that we get them all the time, but we
do. Too often.
We get them more than we should.
Right.
And as
for our customers.
For our customers, right. Yeah. As it happens, I took the call from one of our customers about it.
Similar type of thing.
Similar thing. They actually reached the point of letting whoever it was get into the computer.
Right.
And had opened QuickBooks.
Mm-hmm.
But before they opened their company file,
yeah,
they thought better of it.
And killed it.
And got that person off, hung up the phone.
Right.
And then they called us.
So just so you understand, there's no cybersecurity technology out there that can really defend against this, right? So these bad guys are using the same tools that IT support companies would use.
Yes.
So when I say no, there is a way, right? So you would have to have do what's called whitelisting of applications or blacklisting to prevent access to certain tools. And there's tools out there so if we were using a specific remote access tool, we could block all other remote access tools but ours. However, the bad guys use ours too. And so when you have a great security system, like think of it as a front door or an alarm system or what have you, if there's somebody banging on the front door that says they want to come in and you open the door and turn off the alarm and let them in,
yeah.
Nope, nothing you can do when they, you know, rob you blind. So please, number one, you need to be more cynical. I'll tell you right now, 100% of the time, zero companies on this planet will call you because they've detected that the software you're using isn't working and they want to help you.
Yeah.
None of them care that much.
No.
Period.
Absolutely not.
So just operate under that assumption. If they're calling you and saying they want to help you because they detected something isn't updated, you know it's a scam right there. Whether it be the water department supposedly banging on your door because they want to get in your home, the gas company, the electric company, those companies do not care and will not call you and will not stop by your house and say, hey, we have a note that you're leaking some water. No, they won't do it. So be more cynical and more skeptical about this type of stuff. When you're getting an unsolicited phone call or email from these companies, it is garbage and treat it as such.
Yes, 100% of the time.
If you do feel compelled, go ahead and go and find the QuickBooks number. Don't use any email they sent you to do it, but go to you can Google it.
Actually, I would not Google that particular thing.
Well, there's the other issue there, right?
There is a way to get the QuickBooks tech support number.
Without Googling it.
Correct.
And then what would you recommend?
What I would recommend is you open up QuickBooks.
Yeah, there you go.
Go to the help menu.
There you go.
And then contact us.
Makes perfect sense.
And it'll pop up a little window.
Right.
And it will tell you every way you can get a hold of them. And if you scroll all the way to the bottom of that window,
right,
you may or may not actually see their phone number.
This is how obvious it is that they don't want you to call them. And yeah. Why would they call you if they don't want you to call them?
This is something that really bothers me about Intuit.
Yeah.
They have purposely designed their entire help approach
right.
to obfuscate that phone number.
Right.
They don't exactly hide it in every way,
right.
but they make it really hard to get. And that opens the door for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It also opens the door for scammers to buy ads on Google
right.
and present themselves as the right. the QuickBooks tech support phone number when it's not.
When it's not. That's a good point. So, yeah, Google does a very bad job of blocking the scammers. So that's a vishing example. It was literally on my own voicemail. I'm like, oh, this is going to be something I can talk about on the show. We hear it too much. It's still yeah. a thing. And there's too many of you that will call and let bad guys into your QuickBooks system.
Yeah.
And this is the case for anything. Your bank won't call you. Financial companies won't call you. None of them. Not a single company will call you and say, I care about you. Sadly, that's the truth. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
And as you were saying before, it even applies to in-person visits.
Exactly.
You know, Eversource isn't going to show up at your house to tell you there's a problem with your electricity.
You got some trouble inside your house there with your lines there, you know.
You got a bad fuse in that circuit yeah. breaker or whatever it is they're going to tell you.
Yeah, we're detecting them. They're not.
No.
The electric company gives a darn about you? Actually, speaking about that, I finally replaced my refrigerator.
Oh.
We have repaired it numerous times to the point where it was literally groaning to the point where I knew it was going to die again, so we replaced it. I'm reading the manual as I am... often as a geek to do, I RTFM, I read the flipping manual, and I read in there that I can set it to a setting that if the power company has some sort of urgency, it can actually lower the usage of my refrigerator for power. Yes, like smart, you know, one of those smart meter ideas here. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't want my refrigerator connected to any smart meters so that all my food can go bad because the electric company can't give me enough juice because some ding-dong politician said we all had to have electric cars.
Well, I'm wondering what's going to happen to your food when they cut the wattage on that.
I don't know. But when I saw that in there, I'm like, are you kidding me? Of all the things I would not want to be connected to any smart thing at all to be able to turn off my power and blow up all my food, it would be that. But that's the modern day, Dennis.
I know.
So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock on this Easter weekend. One line open for you, 860-522-9842. Get online. We'll do our best to help you out. And if you've had a call like the QuickBooks call I just played, let us know. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. I am Eric.
And I am Dennis.
And just to think about that voicemail I played for you, you could just hear all the people in the background. This is an institutional thing. Those people probably have better health care and better perks than you do in your own business because of all the money they're scamming off of us.
Yeah.
Because they just simply call and say, hey, you got Prince Albert in a can? Let him out. Let's get to your calls here. We're going to go to John in Farmington first. What's happening, John?
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Nice to talk with you guys again.
Oh, sure.
And I had, as Carolyn may have mentioned, I have an observation or a question on Windows 11. I have Windows 10, and I'm very happy with it. My son had to get a new computer, so we've been working with him on that, on Windows 11.
Yeah.
I don't find any advantages. I find them substantially the same, and I find some very, very minor nuisance disadvantages to Windows 11.
Mm-hmm.
Have to go through an extra step on certain things but essentially I don't see any significant difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm staying with Windows 10 at least until October of 2025 when they'll stop supporting
right.
Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am on that. How do you folks, what's your observation?
I'll defer to Dennis based on the calls we get.
Well, for the most part, we find that Windows 11 works just fine. And I'm with you on some of the annoyances where they took away things like the full context menu in Explorer. And you have to click and see other options button in the smaller menu that comes up in order to get the whole menu. I get that.
Yeah.
And there are actually things out there that can change Windows 11 to more fit into Windows 10. But the one thing I'm going to tell you is that the code base for Windows 11 is superior to Windows 10.
Okay.
It's a little bit leaner and it's a little bit cleaner. And it, if the hardware that you've got is intended to run on Windows 11, then you want Windows 11.
Okay.
That means if you bought the computer within the last 2 years, you definitely want Windows 11.
Yeah.
But it's fine to wait until Windows 10 goes off support.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
Okay, that's good to hear.
All right, John.
I also have, if you have a minute.
I don't actually have a minute because Carolyn's playing the outro music, so I can put you on hold and bring you back because you were nice enough to be on before the show even started. So is that okay with you?
That's fine. I'd be glad to hang here for a little bit.
All right, we're going to put John back on hold if I don't get that wrong. And Daniel and Kay, hang on. We're going to be taking your calls as well in the next half hour. Morgan's going to be up with the news. Everything we talked about has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Or if you join us over on the crazy Facebook page there with Zuckerberg's Facebook page, you can join us at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. It's a private group. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to get right to your calls, and we're going to go to John again and Farmington a second question. What's going on, John?
Okay, just wanted to comment on how much you've helped me and many other people's, both past and again, probably in the future. Number one, thank you for a year or two ago giving me the courage to dump Norton Security. You know, 15 years ago, that was still pretty important to have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Windows Security... and I agree with you. You told me this does a really good job. It enabled me to dump Norton Security, which to me became toxic. Trying to upsell all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's things you want to download that they won't let you do unless you... For instance, I couldn't download an attachment to a .docx file coming from someone's phone into my computer without going through a lot of hoops.
Yep.
And so I don't have to do that anymore. The second thing... Open DNS. It's so easy to do. You can follow one of your links, or you can just go to your favorite search tool and ask about Open DNS, and the steps come right up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Third thing, Brave Browser, which I've heard you talk about.
Yeah.
What a breath of fresh air compared to any and all other browsers I've tried. It is absolutely the best, and there's no ads at all.
Yep. No. Well, we're glad we worked out for you there, John.
And the last thing is, check if you still have a minute. Is to, when people get scam emails, and they get a new scam into their regular email system.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just delete it, because it'll come back again. Divert it to the spam file and only get rid of it, only purge it from the spam file. And the last thing is, when you get an email, the thing is, if it includes something that's downloadable, any kind of an attachment, make sure you look at every letter and every dot to see that email address is legitimate. That's if you've got just a little bit of digital paranoia like I do.
We all should.
Yeah, we should.
All
so
right,
that's pretty much it.
All right.
All I can say is thank you again to both you, Eric, and Dennis for all you do for us.
Our pleasure.
I can't emphasize how much help it is.
It's our pleasure to do it. Thank you for listening and being out there, John.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
All right.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Yep. That's why we're here. It's public service at Tab. We've done it for 25 years. I don't know. Since Windows 95 was a thing. Let's go on to Daniel in Colchester. What's going on, Daniel?
No, I'm having a hard drive problem, so I'm not doing well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
I was hoping maybe you or Elsa can help me.
Elsa would be very helpful. Yes, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, Tuesday, my hard drive, 5 years old on a 10-year-old computer, started vibrating. I know it was going.
Yep.
I have about 4 terabytes backup, and I use external hard drives mostly.
All right.
But I had about 400 gigabytes on a hard drive in a document file that was not backed up in the last 6 months.
Yep.
I was able to pull the hard drive after it wasn't read, getting a blue screen, and able to load Windows with errors, but it did load. It took about 45 minutes to load. Mm-hmm. I was able to back up about 80% of the hard drive. Mm-hmm. You know, a 15-minute backup took about 3 hours.
Yeah.
So it was barely huffing and puffing.
It may not be a good backup either. It still might be just bad data.
There might be corrupted data in there.
I didn't even check the backup yet because I ordered a new computer, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's on, two external hard drives. So
mm-hmm.
I did do two backups. Most of the files were not big files.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I try to load the hard drive in another laptop that is still old, but I get no operation system found.
Right.
And when I do tests, no hard drive detected at all. I tried even an SATA cable, external USB, that didn't recognize it at all either.
Yeah.
I have about 65 gigabytes in a file that I need.
Okay.
That is my Outlook file.
All right.
I never backed that up externally because it always ran better on the hard drive.
Well, your Outlook file, if you're running Mappy, it shouldn't be a big deal. It'll reconstitute that from your mail provider.
Or IMAP.
All right. That's what I meant to say.
Well, my Outlook file, I broke it down into PBSs or whatever they are.
PSTs.
I kept all my contacts in one, emails in another, my kids in another. So is there any way to get back those two files I need? And a lot of them are backups of iPhones.
Yep, maybe. So the company we recommend to get data recovery back is Kroll OnTrack. Now, Kroll OnTrack does offer free tools that you can actually, so you would take that drive, put it in, your new computer comes, let's say, it's going to come with Windows 11, and you take that failing drive, connect it to the new computer, and try some of these tools on that drive. You might get lucky. They offer them for free, partially because if there's a chance of getting the data back, they might be able to tell whether or not they can. So, and you might even have success. So you would go to Kroll OnTrack, there's those free utilities, try to do some data recovery with those tools. Those are some of the best tools out there. If you still can't recover the data, you can then package up the drive, send it to Kroll OnTrack, and that'll probably cost you $100 or $200 for them to tell you how much it's going to cost to do the recovery.
No, it sounds better than Elsa's prices.
It is.
the other thing, Kroll, C-R-A-W?
No, K-R-O-L-L, OnTrack.
K-R-O-L-L.
Yeah, OnTrack.
OnTrack.
Yep.
Oh, and that's my better idea than sending it off to the Navy to have them try to get it for me.
Yes, that would be. It would be.
No, so that's better news than I thought. I thought, you know, I probably am dead, but I didn't even think about corrupt backup. So
yeah,
hopefully that will work. And I couldn't test them obviously because I didn't want to. Once that computer stopped, it wasn't starting again.
And that's kind of why there's two ways to do a backup, right? You did a selective, so you didn't select certain folders in certain areas of your computer. We like to recommend image-based backups. So if you back up the entire image of the system automatically every time, you'll always have a shot. Well, you should always have a shot at your data. You can do selective.
I do both. On the mirror and image, you know, I do the mirror is the old one, the image one's the new ones. I think I don't remember, but unfortunately, it hasn't been done for 3 months, and the ones that I need are on the hard drive in my documents or two folders.
Time flies, right? So try to automate that.
It does. And, you know, when you have 4 terabytes and you're trying to back that up, it just takes time.
It does. Maybe even consider a NAS. So if you went out and got a 10-terabyte mirrored NAS and have it connect.
I ordered a 5-terabyte external.
Yep.
With the new computer also.
That's cool.
That should help too.
It should. Yeah,
along with the other 2 terabytes that I have now. So I'll have the double backups. Now, the image backups, you always recommend that, but isn't it a lot harder to get your files from an image backup than it is just to go and do a direct copy of the backup? That's why I do that.
So, yes, there's extra steps, right? So if it's just a copy and paste, you'll be able to simply see your data. And, yes, it makes it simple. But you lose all that automation unless you set up an X copy or some sort of batch file that you're going to run those copies with.
Right, but whatever you're copying it to has to be perpetually connected to.
Right. And that's
a risk. So, yeah.
Image is the way to go.
in the Windows ones the best as opposed to Seagate or any of those built-in software that comes with the external hard drives?
I'm not a big fan of Windows backup, but it does work. We like Acronis, True Image. That's a good way to back up your stuff.
So, okay, well, I have some work to do. My computer should be here in 5 to 7 days.
All right, Daniel.
That's a good outlook.
Yeah, well, good luck with it.
All right.
And
well, I've been listening to you for 20 years, and ever since Windows 95. I haven't talked to you for about 20 years, and it's nice to hear from you again.
Well, we're glad you're there.
I'm glad you're here, too.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Daniel.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
I was just going to add that some of those, like Seagate and Western Digital, they do have some, sometimes they'll include backup software with their stuff.
Yeah, like you
said. And it's fine. Yeah. It'll work. Some of them even give out a special version of Acronis.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the tool that's included with his drive. I don't know.
You never know. So, let's try to get one more call in. Is that okay? Yeah, she said yes. All right. See, let's go to Kay in Middletown. Next, what's going on, Kay?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you so much for taking my call. So the question is about my Chromebook. So I have a Samsung Chromebook, and I think about a year ago this message came up, no longer, you know, they'll no longer be doing updates.
Yeah.
And I only use it for financial stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking, should I be leaving myself, you know, for possible, you know, anything. So I thought it would be a good idea to get a new computer. So my question is, should I get another Chromebook or should I do a regular computer? Again, it's only for financial stuff.
Yeah.
And if so, what do you recommend?
Yeah, I'm torn because, you know, Chromebooks are great until they're not, and they're not that good in the first place. The word great is actually not even the word I should be using because we're doing the same thing. We're using Chromebook for most of our financial work there, but they have this forced plans obsolescence, which I think they've recently started to change to go from a 3-year to like a 5-year or something like that.
Yeah,
I think
yeah, it's recently. 5 now. Yeah,
thanks. That's so nice of them, isn't it?
So
you know, if you promise not to do anything else in that computer, you could use a Windows machine. That might be an option for you. The fact that the Chromebook isn't updating also is not necessarily an issue until your apps stop working. Apps are going to continue to be updated until they say they can't be updated on the old version of Chrome. So it's all like they're all colluding together, but that's what's going on.
Well, yeah, the apps come out of their own separate market. So, yeah, those will continue to update until it decides they can't.
And the Chrome browser, don't hold me to this, but it should update even though your Chrome OS has not.
Yes.
Okay.
So I would tell you to wait until stuff stops working before you make the decision.
Okay.
But, you know, you could go to a Windows platform. But, the Windows platform is a little more hackable, I think, than the Chrome.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Chrome platform, because
that's true.
So
yeah,
it's tough. It stinks that they're doing this to us, where they're like, okay, 5 years, you've had enough.
An alternative might be a Linux-based tablet, but I don't know if there is one.
There are Linux-based operating.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly what I'm
saying. Yeah. Maybe not.
Think so.
But that might be the solution down the line there. But run it until you can't is what I'd tell you to do, Kay. All right?
Okay. All right. And then one other really quick question.
Mm-hmm.
So I have about, like, I don't know, 5, 8 flash drives with pictures and so forth.
Yeah.
And I thought I heard you guys talking about, you know, converting all of those onto one that has more more space.
More real.
More real.
Yeah. Dennis is not doesn't think the flash drives are good quality. Yeah. So go ahead, Dennis, real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, go get yourself an external hard drive.
Right.
With a decent, durable housing on the outside. And then you take all those sticks, just copy the contents of each one to that bigger external drive.
Yeah, make a directory, set up how you want to, organize it however you'd like.
Yeah, on the bigger external drive, you can create a directory for each stick. Mm-hmm. And you can even label them so that you know which one has what files in it.
Yeah.
And then just copy the contents in Explorer.
And now you have two copies in case those sticks fail, so you're in good shape. Don't throw away the sticks. Just hang
them. Oh, yeah, keep them. The sticks themselves would be a backup against the drive you just copy them to.
Okay. Right. That makes sense. Do you have any recommendations for an external drive?
I would prefer Seagate, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's fine. Works for me.
Okay.
All right, Kay.
Oh, and LaCie is good, too. LaCIE.
Yeah, that is good.
LaCIE. Okay. All wonderful. Right. Thank you so much, guys.
Our pleasure.
As always, you're very helpful.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 on this Easter weekend. Feel free to get online with us. All the lines are open now, 860-522-9842. So feel free to get online during the news. But as we wait for your calls, we do have some more technology news you might be able to use.
Yeah, I was reading a story about a cloud service.
Yes.
And it's probably not one that anybody knows about. I hadn't heard about them until I saw this article.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to start by saying what the name of it is. Mm-hmm. It's Vulture, V-U-L-T-R.
The name of their company is Vulture. I'm
yes.
not sure what marketing team came up with that.
You have a cloud service called Vulture. There are so many jokes in there.
I want to go there right now.
I can't even count.
I want to put my data up there as fast as I can. So
I want to give it over to the vultures.
Yes. Unbelievable.
But the point of this article was that back in January, this service changed their terms of service.
Yep, yep.
And their new terms of service effectively gave them legal control and ability to use any content that you store in their cloud.
No, geez, that's nice of them.
Yeah.
They just take it for themselves.
So if you write the Great American Novel and save it in their cloud service, they can go publish it and get all the copyright. You know, put in the copyright, get all the royalties.
We're not making this up.
No, that's according to these new terms of service that they put in there. Yeah. Now, later on, like a few weeks or maybe a couple months later, they actually started forcing users to approve these new terms of service when they log in.
Right. Would you like to use the Vulture Cloud?
You know,
we've
changed our terms of service, read them, approve them, and then you can sign in.
Right.
Well, that's when everybody figured out what they did.
Yeah.
And wow, has there ever been pushback? And they have effectively rolled back that change.
It's probably the meeting of the management team of Vulture. We should add a term here that says we are going to own everyone's stuff. You know, I mean, that's just mind-bogglingly stupid. But that is the cloud, guys. It is lots of times mind-bogglingly stupid.
And yeah, it's a small little company that you've never heard of and you're probably never going to deal with again.
Yeah.
But if they can do something like this, then any other cloud service can do something like this. You've got to watch for it.
And every application and operating system whose EULA you're clicking on, who is probably asking you for your firstborn kid just to use their software, can do the same thing. So you want to talk about, you know, something for, you know, these legislators to actually do, you got to put some legislation there like Wyden is doing to say you can't do these kinds of terms of service.
Yes. Now you know why we like Ron Wyden.
Yes. So you just can't make it up. But that's Vulture for you. We'll put the link up there for you. You guys can read the story and then think about it when you're putting the stuff in the cloud. Whose data is it? Is it yours? Maybe not. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open. Dennis and I are here until 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out. We'll be right back.